So whenever you want to start. Okay. Thank you. All right. Hi, everybody. My name is Christina, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. And Central Jersey is very dear to my heart. I spent a lot of years in Central Jersey. I came to OA in May of 1981, and I've been here ever since. And I looked up the days this morning, 40 years, 14,720 days, one day at a time, more than half my life. I think we are innocent when we get here. We don't know what the problem is, and nobody could ever tell us. All my life, I was told, you have such a pretty face. All you need is a nice diet or a membership in a health club or another weight loss gimmick, and I would be okay. I used foods for many years to comfort and distract myself when I was nervous. I was a nervous kid. Eventually, those responses became my go-to behaviors. When I was happy, I ate. When I was sad, I ate. When I was bored, I ate. When I was frightened, I ate. So it was more than just a little diet I needed when I came here. I needed to restructure my whole way of responding to living. I believe I needed everything I ever put in my mouth to keep me alive before I got here. And OA is a masterclass for learning to live well. You could have no training at all and come to Overeaters Anonymous and study the steps and traditions and come home to the best part of yourself. So how did the steps and traditions help me to live better? The steps heal my heart. And the traditions help me to heal my relationships. And I always talk about the steps because they're the bones of the program. So step one, we admitted we were powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. That means I admitted I had a problem and I asked for help. Carl Jung once said, once you have the correct diagnosis, healing can begin. Listen to the shares in our meetings. I knew I found my tribe the first night I got here. I couldn't believe that people would say unflattering things about themselves. And because I heard that, I knew they were telling the truth. And I love them for their honesty. They saved my life. Two, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Well, it says in the book, Big Book, that sanity is the ability to see the truth. This means that I've come to believe in something outside myself that helps me to see the truth. I used to think I'd never get it like the goddesses in the front of the room, but I kept coming. And eventually I found my own path to spiritual connection. One of the great teachers of the 12 steps says that our relationship with God is as individual as your fingerprint. I believe our recoveries are as individual as our fingerprints too. I know that sometimes angels with skin on turn up just when I need them, that there are men and women that went before me, that took the keys, that kept the doors open so there was a meeting for me when I came here. They answer the phone. They're the tech hosts. They're the speaker getters. I find a lot of evidence of a higher power looking after me when I look back at the synchronicities that have occurred. And there used to be a fella in our meetings that said, I know there's a higher power and it's not me. And that's what I try to keep in mind. Step three, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. So my will are my thoughts and my life are my actions. And I do my best every day to turn them over to a force for good and do my best to cooperate in doing his will for that day. So what does that look like? It looks like reaching out to people in the program and encouraging newcomers. It looks like doing a 10th step every night so I would become aware if I get snarky during the day with anyone. It means working with others, saying yes to the actions and disciplines I need to be well. Step three says made a decision, not had a feeling. That means I'm going to decide to do things differently. There's a pamphlet in the OA bookstore called Suggestions for Members in Relapse, and those who care. And it says in there, surrendering is not giving up. It means deciding to cooperate with ideas and actions that are not our own. It means deciding to take the actions others have taken to erect this disease, starting with getting a sponsor, committing to an honest plan of eating, working the 12 steps, honoring the 12 traditions and getting to meetings, sharing our experience with others, using the tools, and taking responsibility for ourselves. It means saying yes to the program. In step two, I believe, in the OA 12 and 12, it asks you to make a list of things that you would like your higher power to be and do for you. And I made a list of 5 bullet points. And one of my favorite ones there is, I am accepted with unconditional love, so solid that nothing can touch me. Steps 4 and 5, I made a fearless and searching moral inventory. So that means I did a fact-facing and fact-finding assessment of how I was living. What's nice about this process is the longer you work the program, you see the bar is raised. When you know better, you do better. One of the great teachers of the steps says, in order to change things, you have to take a good look at the truth, which is an inventory. Step 5 is about having a neutral third party take a look at what you have found to develop a better quality of the truth. If I had heard it put that way in the beginning, I would never have been afraid of telling a sponsor what was on my inventory. When I did my last inventory, I came up with, and the sponsor gave me a list of 39 adjectives or character defenses that describe my responses and reactions in my relationships. This is step 6 and 7. Those were the things that didn't work for me. This time when I did it, I made a list of the things that were not working. And I thought for a long time about a better way to live. There it is. There's the list. So instead of critical, a better way would be to live and let live, be fair and kind. Instead of entitled, to be humble. Instead of mean-spirited, to be fair. Instead of jealous, to be generous and content. That's the way I want to live. You know, that's the way I choose to be. And so, you know, this program points me in that direction. And those adjectives, when they appear, that mean-spiritedness, usually point me back to how I am being fearful or selfish or dishonest. Did I make that mean comment because I was being inconsiderate? Did I make it because I was fearful? Helps me examine how I'm living. So I stopped doing the old behavior and practice something new. Step 6 is about being willing. Step 7 is about asking God to remove my defect character or help me to dial it down so that people don't suffer from being around me. Step 8 and 9 are making a list of the people we had harmed and become willing to make amends. This step is about freedom. Shame is such a soul-eating emotion. It's really important to work this with the sponsor. So we were prepared to have the conversation from the point of view of, I'm sorry for my part. And we don't cause any more hurt. Every time I've made an approach with somebody, I felt a release. Something melted between in the walls that I had up against that person. We don't know how much that shame or that sadness shuts us off from the good in our life. You're going to feel really good after step 9. That's why they put the promises in the big book. So, and then we are at step 10. Now that we're on a good basis with people, we want to stay that way. So it's a daily inventory. When I am wrong, promptly admit it. There used to be a speaker in the program, Richie Kay. He's passed away now. And he was like listening to St. Francis with a Brooklyn accent. And he would say it just that way. When I'm wrong, promptly admit it. So that's what I say to myself when I know I'm wrong. Okay, we're going to promptly admit this. I use an app now that asks me a few simple questions every day and then rates me for the day. One day I got 88%. The next day I got 28%. But the point of the thing is that I look at my behavior and I'm more aware of how I interact with people. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact to God. I pray every day, going through the day. I have a praying chair, same chair for 40 years. God bless early American furniture in Bennington Pine. I feel that that chair holds spiritual energy for me. And I respect myself enough to have my own space in the house. So I take my calls in that chair. I do my writing and reading in that chair. And it's comfort for me. Step 12, carry this message to others. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. And I sponsor others and help where I can. Someone once told me that we might be the only face of the big book that somebody sees. I also, as a result of doing this work, learn to speak kindly to myself. When things are overwhelming and I get frightened, eventually I say to myself, it's okay, sweetie. God knew about this too. If he leads you to it, he'll lead you through it. I put affirmations on my calendar right now. The ones that are there are twice a day I see, God is crazy about you. And the other one is because I have severe osteoporosis. I easily find exercises I enjoy that make me stronger. So all of this has led to a good life. And what I know today as a result of working the steps is that I'm a strong woman. And strong people can afford to be gentle with themselves and with others in the world. And I'm very grateful for every day I've had in this program and all the women that have helped me to develop some skills for living. I didn't know I was looking for a new life when I came in here, but I found one. My kids don't remember mom being over 225 pounds. Or they've never seen me drunk. What I would say to the new people or anybody coming back, take your turn. People here want you to be well. It says in our step one that the omission of our powerlessness over food opened the door to an amazing newfound power. So say yes to the program. See how that feels in your chest. If you change your thinking, you'll change your life. And that's what I had to say. Thanks so much for listening.